Jays have a 5-3 win over the Kansas City Royals. And the Leafs, not even breaking a sweat. The series is done.
Which one?
Oh, the Leafs series. Leafs and fives. I was saying it in the office today. It's over. Stick a fork in the Bruins. No doubt about it.
Fingers crossed.
Nah, it's done. Bruins are dead in the water. 3-2, the Leafs had their way with the Bruins. Like I said, I was flipping back and forth. It didn't seem to me like the game was ever in doubt for the Leafs. Much like this game was never in doubt, Kevin Barker, for the Toronto Blue Jays, this 5-3 Jays win. The numbers to call, 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Very simple question for all of you to consider tonight. Are you buying into Dalton Varsho? Kevin Barker, you buying Dalton Varsho stock right now?
Yeah, I think so. You know what I think I'm buying? I'm buying that he can sort of separate bad at-bats and then come up when it matters and have a really good at-bat. And I think the Dalton Varsho that we had been seeing up until, say, the last, 25 or 30 at-bats, you really didn't know what you were going to get. Now I think he's predictable. Like, he's sort of found his sweet spot when it just comes to the pace of the lower half. And, you know, because he is 60-40, 60-40 means 60% of your weight on your back leg, 40% on your front leg. Sort of he's getting a little bit of loft in his swing. He can get the ball in the air to the pull side. And when he's doing that with pace and is on time, he's got tremendous power. So you give everybody credit, right? You give John Schneider credit for hurrying up, putting him in the five hole. You give Dalton Varsho credit for just sort of, you know, taking a deep breath, exhaling, sort of working on the pace, and, you know, give his teammates credit. You know, there's been some words that, you know, George Springer and Bo Bichette have actually said, forget about the bat path and, you know, just get it down and sort of get it singing and think about out front, and that's sort of what he's doing. And it just doesn't look like he's thinking about it. When you're not thinking about it because you have some talent, you're going to have success. So good for him. Blue Jays need this. Like, they need somebody to step up when the top two guys are just sort of not doing their thing, right? You know, George Springer's bat looks a little slow. Vladdy's swing looks a little long. And when those two things are happening, you know, you're going to have guys like Bo Bichette who, you know, they're counting on to do a lot of things. He came up, and I don't know if you noticed off of Singer, right? Bases loaded instead of doing your two-strike approach, because two-strike approach is just basically put a ball in play. You ain't trying to do that with the bases loaded and one out. You're trying to get the ball in the air to at least have an successful at-bat, and you just catch that slider out front. So, you know, you get big hits when they matter, and because you have really good pitching, that's how you win baseball games. Again, Jeff, they're 10-1 when they score five or more. That's the sweet spot. That's the magic number is five runs.
Yeah, it'd be nice if George Springer could have that talk with himself. Whatever he said to Varsho, it'd be nice if he could have that.
Yeah, I'm optimistic. Talk with himself. I'm optimistic.
I was optimistic last week. Like I said, I'm seeing them win games, doing all the stuff they said they were going to do. That's fine. I mean, I'm happy with that. Don't tell me you're going to do something and then not do it. If you're going to tell me this is the way you're going to attack teams, if you're telling me this is the way the offense is going to look, then go out and do it and win games. I'm fine with that. We got to talk, obviously, about Yusei Kikuchi. Man, oh, man, I'll tell you what. If I was the official scorer in Kansas City, I would be giving thanks right now to Sal Perez, because Garcia, the home run, pardon me, that removed the any of the debate about whether or not it was a no-hitter going into the game. What am I thinking? I'm looking at the double by Blanco here, because Buck was talking about the first two decisions, the two decisions by the official scorer, the one in particular, that error on Sal Perez was given an infield hit. I mean, I think most of us would think that's an error. It's interesting, you know, because Buck made the point about the official scoring in Major League Baseball really skewing towards offense now. And I can tell you, I know for a fact, because I've talked to official scorers, Major League Baseball last year had meetings with official scorers in every city. And they basically said, 50-50, call goes to the batter. They said, yeah, I mean, you can't put all these rule changes in and try to and say you want to try to create more action without, you know, letting that action show itself in the scorebook. So they told official scores very clearly. If you're in doubt, make it a hit. So, and I know it's a talking point with a lot of around baseball. It's a talking point with a lot of people. That's just the way it's going to be. That's the way it's going to be.
Yeah, look. I think you got to be realistic, right? If a guy who's won a gold glove playing a certain position is standing waiting on a ball, and it just sort of takes a weird hop, hits him in the, you know, not in the webbing of the glove, hits him in the palm of the glove and bounces off, that's an error. Like, he's flat-footed waiting on the baseball. And the throw from Turner, I mean, every big league first baseman needs to make a – can and should make that throw. That should be an easy – yeah, neither one of them are hits. Like, mm-hmm. I get your point, and I understand, I guess, what they're trying to do is because, you know, hitting is down throughout the entire league that – you know, you're trying to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Something they did last year.
Well, it's the big leagues. I mean, get real. Yeah. Let's be honest with it, right? You got to make them earn it a little bit.
I'm with you, but that's the way official scores have been told that. So, you know, we can sit here and complain about it and talk about it, but that's the way they've been told. But for a while there, I kept looking back at that play and going, oh, man, somebody's got to come through. Somebody's got to do something here so that we don't have that discussion where you say Kikuchi's going into the ninth inning with a no-hitter going or something like that, with the exception of that infield hit. And now we're saying, geez, do you look back at that? Do you have a redo on that? But all that aside, again, a terrific outing for Yusei Kikuchi tonight. You talked about very early in the year, Kevin, his first start, the need for efficiency. And we saw that tonight.
Yeah, up until the sixth inning, he didn't throw an inning where he threw more than 12 pitches, which is just unbelievable from what we used to see to what we're seeing now. You know, he's throwing strike one. He threw 15 out of 23 batters. That means he's getting ahead. Like, to say that he's refined mechanics is the biggest understatement of the entire century. Just, like, it's so simple. It's so repeatable. It's so, like, quick and out front, and the release point looks like – you know, Groundhog Day is just over and over and over again. And that allows him to be really good with the fastball, glove side and down. And when you're doing that and you have a little extra extension, and that means you're throwing that thing a little bit harder, that means that curveball and that slider is going to be that much better, especially when it's down like it is. I mean, that's elite stuff. Like, I don't think you can say anything other than that. He's all of a sudden starting to be able to pitch instead of being a thrower, right? You know, he's sort of evolved into, you know, now he doesn't need in the first couple of innings the 97, 98s. He can pitch at 94, 95 like he was tonight, as long as he's locating and getting ahead and, you know, making sure the breaking stuff is down. I think that's key. He's found his little sweet spot with the release point on the slow breaking ball. Having that, you know, 82 to 94, 95 and occasionally 97. 798, like, that's a giant difference in being able to attack the bottom part of the zone with some authority and with some confidence. And give Danny Jansen credit. Like, he was given targets, big targets, making sure that, you know, if we're going to miss, we're going to miss down here. So they were on the same page. They were getting ahead. And, you know, you give that dude a lead. It's almost right now, you can almost say it's over. And, again, he is very predictable. That, I think, is what they were shooting for when they brought him here, is if Petey can refine all that stuff and get it sort of repeatable and just where he can go out there and get the velocity that he needs. Boy, that's some elite stuff.
416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. A winning edition of Blue Jays baseball tonight. The Jays beating the Kansas City Royals 5-3, the first game of a four-game series. A couple of topics for conversation tonight. I asked if you're buying with Dalton Varsho selling. I'll also ask if you're buying into Yusei Kikuchi. Kevin Barker, Yusei Kikuchi wants to get paid again next year. He keeps having outings like this where he is quietly emerging as one of the best left-handed pitchers in baseball. He's not going to have any problem finding a contract next year.
I mean, Blue Jays, don't be afraid. Like, where would you find stuff like that at? Like, you don't have anything like that in the minor leagues. I mean, the one guy that's left-handed is always hurt. Like, lefties like this now that have lots of confidence and has refined mechanics and buying into everything that Pete Walker and the organization is trying to sell to him, and you sort of molded him into this. I mean, what more do you want, right? Look, again, I'm sure it's all determined on cost, But because of his age, it ain't going to cost you a bazillion dollars. Like, I mean, you could get him for a decent amount, and a guy that now all of a sudden is giving you length and quality at the same time. I mean, lefties that throw this hard that can throw two different breaking balls don't grow on trees. So I would assume that you would think Ross and Mark are probably sooner than later going to have start having conversations with whoever his agency is and thinking, hey, how can we keep him here because we like what we're seeing?
Yeah, it's – I mean, I would think they have to. You're right. You know, based on what we're hearing from the minor leagues in terms of the pitching, you know, Brandon Barrera visiting Dr. Meister, Ricky Tiedemann, he needs a follow-up. If I'm the Blue Jays looking at the minor league system right now, I'm with you. I don't know when you have that discussion. I'm not one of those people that thinks you don't talk to players about contracts in season. I think it depends on the player. This idea that you don't talk to somebody once the season starts. I mean, you look at what Alex Anthopoulos did with Edwin Encarnacion when he was here and they signed him just after the All-Star break. I'm with you. I think you at least have to have the discussion. And
sometimes people earn it, right, Jeff? Like, I think, you know, he had the bad year.
Yes, that's a good point.
He went in the offseason. He adjusted things to, you know, just sort of – sometimes you got to look yourself in the mirror and go, what I'm doing ain't working. I got to figure out something. He simplified it, and now it's just – now – like, it's night and day. I just don't know how you couldn't have the conversation. And maybe they already have. But, boy, I mean, just sometimes guys earn, you know, to get paid. And right now, it's just like you say, is he's loved. I mean, they're big on that clubhouse thing. I mean, he's loved. Everybody loves him. Why wouldn't they? His stuff is off the charts. I mean, how many lefties at the big league level throw as hard consistently as he does now? Now he's locating it into a righty, down to a lefty, and down to a righty, and can throw two different breaking balls, and now has good feel of a real slow breaking ball, which makes it, you know, sort of hard to square things up. I just don't think those things grow on trees. It looks to me like he's getting stronger every time he's pitching. So does it look like there's a light at the end of the tunnel when it just comes to you sort of getting what you see? There might be a little bit more left in the tank, and he's starting to maybe turn the corner because of the pitches he's throwing per inning now that maybe he's going to give you, you know, those quality starts every time out, which, again, especially from a lefty, man, that's the Yankees. Boy, you're facing that stuff with high-octane velocity. It's not an easy get. So hopefully for Jays fans, they have a conversation and keep him here.
Yeah, I think what he got, 16 called strikes and whiffs on the on the curve today, on his four seamer, he got 10 on his curve. I mean, he was really good.
He threw those two pitches 68 times. Just tell you how good he is.
Yeah.
He kept the fastball in the zone 65% of the time. He kept the curveball in the zone 60% of the time. He had 38 swings combined on those two pitches. He had 12 whiffs and 14 called strikes. It's like action, right? You want to have outs as quick as possible. And to get these three up and three downs like he was, and you know, he had a 12-pitch inning, 11-pitch inning, a 6-pitch inning, a 10-pitch inning. It's like after you score and then he comes back and gives you a 10-pitch inning like he did, it's just, I mean, it's elite stuff, right? And for him to get in his lanes the way he is and finish the way he is, and then he had a ball fouled off his, you know, hit off his foot, and it just didn't seem to bother the rhythm and timing and how he's locating pitches. So right now it's elite stuff, man. And on top of it, he's got confidence. Just it's pouring out of his pores right there. It's just like he's beating a dude on the on-deck circle before he walks to plate, which is half the battle too. So, yeah, I mean, add to the Barrios, and now you hopefully Gausman and Bassett and Rodriguez. Boy, you're dreading coming in there facing them five dudes.
Well, and you're also buying yourself some time with Alek Manoah. Alek Manoah can make as many starts as you want him to make down there and get himself straightened out. And then if this thing continues to go the way it goes, now you've got an interesting situation where perhaps you try to finagle something with Rodriguez and Alek Manoah, where one piggybacks off the other. I mean, if you're looking to control, looking to control Yariel Rodriguez's innings. But I mean, Kevin, that's almost like we're at the point right now where if Alek Manoah comes back, it's a bonus. Which if you're the Blue Jays, that's That's kind of your best case scenario right now.
Yeah, it's the best Swanson's look for you. I mean, it was for me tonight. Like
that last splitty he threw was the one I've been waiting to see. Right? Well, I think we've all been waiting to see that one.
You know, sort of what it was is the Turner made a nice play, nice throw to home, saved a run for him, and it just seemed to give him life. And then it just looked like he had a little bit better extension. The it was just coming out a little hotter, had a little bit more late movement to it. It just seems like it gave him a little bit of confidence, not giving up a run because he made a bad pitch and guy made him pay for it. So getting him going. You know, Jordan Romano, I know, gave up a home run on a slider. It looks to me like his ball's moving a little bit more velocity. He's not forcing the velocity as much. So if you get those two guys healthy, Jimmy Garcia, I mean, that again. He's got five pitches, Jeff, coming out of the bullpen, which is just unbelievable to me, the way he throws and adds, subtracts, and, you know, can give a lefty and a righty all kinds of different looks and doing it with different arm angles. And he's maintaining the velocity the way he is at his age. It's that's the least stuff, too. So, you know, if they can continue to maybe have some grinded out at bats and maybe have a couple of their main guys get hot offensively, you know, who knows? Maybe they can make a serious run at this thing and go on a winning streak, which is sort of what they need. They need sort of both sides of the ball to meet in the middle. We talked about this on our show today.
They kind of got a winning streak going.
Yeah,
right
I know,
now.
But I mean, make honestly, it look a little easier. A little easier, though, is what I'm saying, right? You get a couple dudes hot in their lineup, sort of. Carrying the load, make it a little easier so every pitch doesn't matter the way it's mattering from them starters. Just they got a really good team, the way they play defense. Now, the base running tonight, Kiermaier getting picked off second. I mean, that's a no-no. You're just not supposed to do that. Ball's right in front of you. Your eyes are following the ball. I mean, that's just odd for him to do that. So, hopefully you don't see that again. I mean, it's baseball 101 when it comes to base running. So, you know, clean some things up on the defensive side, make the plays you're supposed to make. And again, boy, if you could just get a couple of them main guys hot at the top of that lineup with the way they're pitching, wow.
Well, speaking of that, my friend Mr. Barker talked about Bo Bichette's triple in the third inning, a bases-clearing triple by Bo Bichette. This is the manager, John Schneider, talking about that triple.
I mean, his swing is getting pretty damn good. The walk to Vlad, you know, Vlad's walk to load the bases and then just a really good at-bat from Bo. You know, I think even a couple other of his swings today were really good. And, you know, it's good to see the emotion out of him, too. You know, it's he's one of the best hitters in the league. You know, everyone knows that. Huge hit today.
Yeah, that was a huge hit. And, Kevin, as you mentioned, we love Bo's two-strike approach at times. But mm-hmm. Bo has talked to you about their – when the opportunity presents itself to do maximum damage, he's going to try to do maximum damage.
Yeah, you got to think about Brady Singer, too. What's he like to do? He likes to throw the slider down and away and throw the sort of the front hip sinker to righties down, right? It's very hard to get those balls in the air. What's Bo's two-strike approach? That's just basically putting the ball in play to the right side of the field. He didn't want to do that. He wanted to get the ball in the air and do some damage. And to do that, you got to catch that thing out front. Got a slider out front. It was down. It's a really good pitcher's pitch. But because he didn't have his two-strike approach, that had sort of enabled him to add a little loft, uppercut in his swing, get the ball in the air, and backspin that thing to right field. They needed that. Again, sort of just when their big three is somebody in that sort of little pocket is doing something, it just seems like everybody else sort of falls in line and is going up there and free and easy and having better at-bats. And, you know, Biggio had a good at-bat tonight when they scored a run. Mm-hmm. IKF, you know, had a couple of good at-bats. So, bottom of the order is doing their thing. If you could just get George and Flatty, kind of, yeah. I don't know what, you know, maybe half of what we expect them to be doing, maybe that can help out. And, you know, hopefully Bo's starting to turn the corner. You could tell Bo is not worried about his mechanics. He's more worried about, you know, situations and what he's trying to do and you know, how he's trying to help a team win a baseball game. So that bodes well. When you're not thinking about it, it's like Varsha. When you're not thinking about your mechanics, you just sort of get in the pitch, knowing where you need to make contact with it so it'll end up where you want it to go. And when they're doing that, because they're really good hitters, you know, things tend to work out.
416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590, 5-3. The Blue Jays have beaten the Kansas City Royals in the first game of a four-game series. Second game goes tomorrow. We will take a break and come back, and we'll hear from John Schneider about, I mean, I don't know if you would call it a little bit of history made tonight by Jordan Romano, but I think it's safe to say that Jordan Romano hit a little bit of a milestone tonight. We'll hear from John Schneider about that. Take your calls. Get more comments. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This is Jordan Romano, and you're listening to Toronto Blue Jays Baseball on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Awesome for him, you know, personally knowing him for a long time and, you know, seeing him as a starter in the minors and getting Rule 5 and coming back. And a lot of credit is obviously it goes to him, his process, his routine. It's not easy to do, whether it's a three-run lead or a one-run lead, especially in this division. You know, he's been doing it for a number of years now. Really glad we won, but really happy for him. He's really turned himself into a pretty elite closer.
John Schneider talking about Jordan Romano, who picked up his 100th save tonight in a 5-3 Jays win, 100 save in 220 games. That is the third fastest Canadian-born pitcher to 100 saves. John Axford, 100 saves in 198 games played. Eric Gagne, 100 saves in 203 games played. Jordan Romano. We forget about this. We forget about the early days of Jordan Romano's career, Rule 5. Like, this was not a straight path for Jordan Romano from being drafted, signed, and closing. It was not a straight path for him. And, you know, look, we've talked about Jordan Romano, Kevin. We're on the same page with him. I think we are, anyhow. He's your closer. Remains to be seen whether he can be a guy who can do what closers have to do in the postseason. We don't know. He hasn't really had that many opportunities to do that. But it's considering how his career has gone, that's a pretty good milestone. That's a pretty good milestone.
Well, it's pretty cool, too, the way he's sort of evolved into what he's evolved into, right? He's tried to elevate fastballs. He's sort of got that unorthodox sort of, you know, wind up and just where he's releasing the baseball. He's a crossfire guy, and, you know, for the most part, he stayed healthy. You know, slider's gotten better the more he's thrown it. He can throw it, you know, almost abuse it at times, which has helped him, right? The slider's not the easiest thing to hit. So, yeah, where he started and where he's at now. Regular season, I'd take him 10 times out of 10.
Yeah, and boy, they've got a nice little thing going with him and Jimmy Garcia. If they can just find that one other guy that they can slot in there, you know, that and who knows? I mean, I think they have options there, obviously, but if Eric Swanson, if he can command that fastball, and if that splitter's back, that's a pretty good 1-2-3, at least at this stage of the year. And as we've said, one thing we know about the Blue Jays, they'll make a bullpen ad at some point this year. They will just make a bullpen ad at some point. They've done it pretty much every year.
I think Swanson, too, didn't look like he was hunting velocity, right? I think it was just coming out free and easy. And
you made the point. It looked more like Eric Swanson looked last year. The extension, everything. It just looked more comfortable.
Look, I think the split finger's a little still a work of progress just because of the release point and, you know, where he wants it to end up. His last one was the best one he'd thrown out of the mix. And, again, I think it just took a nice play from his defense. He got a little fired up and, you know, the velocity has to be up a little bit for get guys swinging at the split finger. If it's not, it's probably not going to go well for him. But this is a good outing that he can take, build off of, and hopefully help him out a little bit back into that.
Well, Bo Bichette had the bases clearing triple. Dalton Varsha with a 2-run home run. This was Bo Bichette after the game about what the team does best right now.
I mean, I know I always say it, but, I mean, just the way we're competing is really it's really fun to be a part of, especially with me not really doing everything I can, and Vladdy as well, and George too. Like, guys are stepping up and helping this team win. And it's, like I said, it's really fun to be a part of.
Yeah, that is Bo Bichette. And talking about himself and what he needs to do, mentioning Vladdy and George, and, you know, Kevin, I don't want to bring this down, because, you know, the Leafs won, these guys won 5-3. But again, George Springer tonight, not very good, 0-for-5. four ground ball outs. Vladdy, a single, will walk. I don't – we asked George – or we asked John Schneider when he on his weekly appearance last Friday what you might do with the lineup. I don't know what you can do with those top two spots, Kevin. You know, we've gone back and forth on it. I just – you know, George Springer – first of all, George Springer doesn't want to come out of the leadoff spot. He made that pretty clear last year. Secondly, at this point, I don't know where you'd put him. So I have no idea. I have no idea what the Jays do here. It's a real quandary.
Yeah, I think they're 13-10. Is that what they are? 13-10.
Yes, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they got 13 wins, and I think Bo was saying there without coming out and saying that we're very fortunate to be 13-10.
Yeah.
Because the first three guys just haven't been doing what we expected. We were supposed to be doing at the beginning of the season. And, you know, again, I think that if you got, you know, sort of looking forward and if you're a Jays fan being happy about something, I think it's that they're 13-10 without them three dudes doing a ton. And I think that's sort of what he's saying is just wait until mm-hmm. we start doing, you know, hopefully what we start doing and helping this team win a bunch of baseball games and get on a roll and make a run towards the playoffs. But I'm with you again. Look, this is sort of the first night that you've seen Vladdy look out and around. Swing looks really long. And for me, Springer's swing just looks slow. I just don't know, you know, that means you'd have to be real careful about what you swing at, right? Give him the ball in so you can get your arms extended, maybe go up hunting breaking stuff just until you get in the flow and maybe get the foot down a little quicker and your bat gets a little quicker the later the season goes. But I'm sure they'll try and make some adjustments. I'm sure they'll, you know, do whatever it takes to refine what they're not swinging at and
just whatever happened, Kevin, to the idea that George was going to go up this year and try to hit for more power and remember all that talk in spring training? He was going to try to pull the ball more and hit for more power. Hey, maybe it's just not there.
Anymore. I think he's trying to do that. Well, what he's swinging at? He's swinging at the ball in. I mean, you got to. If he's going to hit a bunch of homers, it's going to be the pull side. So, you know, I think by what he's swinging at, he's telling you that he's going up there trying to hit homers. And just for whatever reason right now, you know, it could be numerous things, but it just, to me, this is the first night that his bat just looked like it was slow through the zone. And, you know, maybe get it started a little sooner. Maybe get your foot down a little sooner. Maybe you just try and think about, you know, not swinging at certain pitches just until everything sort of is working in unison and you can drive down and through the baseball and maybe start hitting some homers. So, yeah, again, you know, you got to be optimistic. I think it's just the fact that they think in that room they're fortunate to be 13-10 mm-hmm. because of what the first three guys are not doing. And if they get the first or three or maybe two of the three rolling for a long period of time, I think they are going to make a serious run at this thing. Because they are, Jeff, a couple of guys, because of the way they pitch, the way they play defense, if they get a couple of them dudes smoking hot for a while, they are a really, really good team.
Yeah, this pitching
is elite. It really is. It is.
Kevin, I think – I mean, early days and all that, I think it has a potential to be better than it was last year. And it was pretty damn good last year. But this is a different Kikuchi. My goodness, we've talked about Jose Berríos. You know, you didn't see that an awful lot from Berríos last year. And with Kikuchi doing what he's doing now and Yariel Rodriguez, I mean, I hate to say it again because we said it a lot last year, but boy, oh boy, if it's 2 years in a row where you waste a lot of good pitching, you know.
Yeah, how many rotations got a number five guy like Rodriguez who can go out there and just stuff people
silly.
To death? Now, I know he ain't refined yet, but, man, he's got some serious stuff.
No. Yeah. 5-3, the Blue Jays beat the Kansas City Royals tonight. It is the first game of a four-game series. Second game goes tomorrow. It will be on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Belleville and Trenton, just off the 401. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com. They are Canada's number one rust protection.